Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. One should treat animals such as deer, camels, asses, monkeys, mice, snakes, birds, and flies exactly like one's own son. How little difference there actually is between children and these innocent animals. Purport. One who is in Krishna consciousness understands that there is no difference between the animals and the innocent children in one's home. Even in ordinary life, it is our practical experience that a householder dog or cat is regarded on the same level as one's children. Without any envy, like children, the unintelligent animals are also sons of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, a Krishna conscious person, even though a householder, should not discriminate between children and poor animals. Unfortunately, modern society has devised many means for killing animals in different forms of life. For example, in the agricultural fields, there may be many mice, flies, and other creatures that disturb production, and sometimes they are killed by pesticides. In this verse, however, such killing is forbidden. Every living entity should be nourished by the food given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Human society should not consider itself the only enjoyer of all the proprieties of God. Rather, men should understand that all the other animals also have a claim to God's property. In this verse, even the snake is mentioned, indicating that a householder should not be envious even of a snake. If everyone is fully satisfied by eating food that is a gift from the Lord, what should there be envy between one living being and another? In modern days, people are very much inclined towards communistic ideas of society, but we do not think that there can be any better communistic idea than that which is explained in this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Even in the communistic countries, the poor animals are killed without consideration, although they also should have the right to take their allotted food with which to live. End of purport. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurumalitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manopistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Datati Swapadandikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Kam Kuruti Vachalam Pangalam Gayate Grim Yad Kripatamam Pande Shri Gurunti Natarina. Vanjagalpa Dhruvyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Paditanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Nama. One should treat animals such as deer, camels, asses, monkeys, mice, snakes, birds, and flies exactly like one's own son. How little difference there actually is between children and these innocent animals. The verdict of this verse is that one should not see any difference or see very little difference, very, very little, between animals and children, or animals and one's own son. So Srila Prabhupada makes very clear here that all these animals, they're part of the creation of God. So if God creates only, God has the right to destroy. There is a quote from Srila Prabhupada in the conversation with a scientist, and they are debating. It's in the book Life Come From Life. And Srila Prabhupada said, you know, he's asking why the scientists, they give such so very little importance to the animals, thinking that there is no soul. Therefore, they are on this rampage of excluding the animals as being necessity of living entity, necessary living entity. And Srila Prabhupada, he defeated the argument by asking the scientists, if you can create a life in your laboratory, then you can kill life. Can you do that? Of course, they cannot create life, the scientists. They're baffled against this phenomena. So the animals, they have no rationals. That's why they are innocent. They have no discrimination. They do not follow the law of the land, but they follow the law of karma. Every animals, actually, they're acting more perfect than a human being. A human being has a rational, he knows what to do and what not to do. You cannot expect a cow to stop the traffic lights. But those signs and injunctions are for the human being. So the animals, they're following their instinct. They're actually in the process of punishment, of they're actually paying off their karma. But they're not generating karma. There is no prarabdha karma in the activities of the animals. It is not that if the animals, you know, jumps on you and he kills you, he has to pay the reaction of his activity. It's not like that. Animals is an animal. You instigate an animal, then you get in trouble. So they are actually already paying off the karma from their previous lives when they were human beings. The prarabdha karma, prarabdha means generating karma, when it's only for human being. And that is generated at every moment, at every seconds, with our thoughts, with our words, our activities. We're always generating karma. So we are subject to the law of the land and the law of karma. Both of we have to follow. Whereas the animals, they follow the law of karma, you know, their own instinct, which is their own instinct, but they don't follow the law of the land or the how do you call it, the law of God also. There are laws from the Manu Samhita for the human beings. So therefore, because the animals, they are not intelligent to discriminate pravritimcha, navritimcha, between things that they should be done and things they should not be done. So therefore they are, as it says here in the translation, they are innocent. How little difference there actually is between the children and these innocent animals. So, why children? Because children also, they are on the platform of animals. There is a say that up to the age of 6, also the children, they don't generate any karma. There's nothing that they could do that will be detrimental for their future. Because they have no sense of rationals, discrimination. They're just on the on the same platform like the animals. Anamoya, the Acharya, they explained that Anamoya means anything they touch, they see, the children they put in their mouth. Right? It's a fact. We see all the time. You can even sometimes they have a dangerous object in front of them, and the adults are fearful of these things. But they put in their mouth, the children. Who was it? Akinchana. My friend Akinchana, he told me a very striking story. When he was a young baby, 2-3 years old, and he was sleeping in his cot in Malaysia, and it was in the summer, it was very hot, and a huge snake came into the room. It went right into the cot. And the father, the family, they saw that the snake was actually lying on his belly. And he picked up with his hand the tail of the snake and he put it in his mouth. That's Anamoya. And the father, they were like, they were shocked and they said, okay, so that's it. That's the end of the baby. It's a huge black snake, according to them, was poisonous. But, you know, they managed to drag the baby out of the cot. There was all the villagers around, and they came, you know, they spent half an hour observing, you know. But somehow or another, he didn't get bitten. You know Akinchana, he's the cousin of Pramanava. So he told me the story. And this is the situation. An adult is very much scared to put, you know, some wires, some live wires in his mouth. But a child is not. Anything he touches, he sees, he puts in his mouth. So the animals, they do the same. And that's why there is Srila Prabhupada in the translation says, one should treat animals such as a deer, camels, asses, monkeys, mice, snakes, birds and flies, exactly like one's own son. How little difference there actually is between children and these innocent animals. Because of, as I explained before, there is no sense of discrimination, no rational, so therefore there is no difference between these two different species of life. Therefore, the duty of the householder is to see no difference. between these two creatures, his own children and the animals. And Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that includes the even a dangerous animals like snakes, scorpions. Now, in what way we treat them as our own children? Does that mean that, you know, you let them sit at the table with you and, you know, do things, you know, you take them shopping with you or you have a bed for them? No, it's not like that. But is that you provide protection. And protection is comes in the form of food. You feed them just like you feed your own children. And following this law of nature, following this rule, one becomes very dear to Krishna. Because if you read in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Maharaj Parikshit, he displayed this wonderful concern just by seeing the cow being beaten by Kali. He was very much aggrieved and very much pained to see such a situation. And Srila Prabhupada describes in the purport that this is the feeling of a compassionate person, householder. And he was a king. He therefore, the duty of a king is to offer protection to the, not just to the citizens, but to the old praja. Prabhupada mentioned the word praja. Praja means any living entities who are living under the into the kingdom of the king, and they all have the same right to be protected by the king. Praja means includes all the animals. So the but the behavior we can see is very much different in human society. We are following a different pattern of life. The people show very little concern for the animals. They show very so much lack of compassion and mercy, and therefore the opposite of this is cruelty, anger, and envy. Like Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, one should not be envious of the animals, not even of a snake, even though a snake is very much known to be envious creature. As a very, you could see the species of a snake is very scaring even to look at. I mean, speaking for myself, I get terrorized just by looking at the face of a snake. But some people, they naturally like them. They, you know, it's just something probably. It's just karma. But they have this, even though they have this ugly look, but still one should be compassionate and should feel sorry for such a soul who is entrapped in that prison uniform. Because these 8,400,000 species of lives are different uniforms. They're all prison uniforms. They're given by the law of karma. And we have a particular situation because we deserve it. And we are all in a punishment or reform, how do you say? We are all suffering the reaction from previous lives, whether in human form, animal form, love species of life, or even a demigods. Those are all different types of uniform, prison uniform. That's why it is the world is a prison, Durga. The material world is huge prison. The Chatusloka, the 14 planetary systems, even though they look very beautiful with the sky, nice trees, and you have the sun, and you have beautiful flowers, and you have different varieties of food, and but still it's a prison. It is a prison house. And everybody has a different prison uniform, which is the body. Prison house for the soul. So when we see a creature in a very degraded species of life, we should feel compassionate. It is not them. It is not the soul. Its soul is being actually conditioned, and it's been influenced by the modes. It's been dragged down in that situation, in that body, that nobody likes to be there. Actually, many of us may have been in such a situation. The fact that we don't remember doesn't justify the truth that we have never been in such a situation. We may have been, in the body of a scorpion, a snake, and the needs are the same, just like the children. They are on Annamoya. They just leave to find something to eat, a little bit of shelter, the basic needs. But as I said before, they don't generate any karma. Therefore, a human being is actually the most dangerous animal, you can say, because he can intentionally he misuses rationals, misuses the intelligence, can destroy all the other species of life. Whereas an animal cannot do that. An animal, he follows the law of karma, but he doesn't follow, he's not supposed to follow the law of the land. So the householder should be equal, should be impartial, in the sense that if he sees some animals who are hungry, he should feed them just like his own children. That's what Prabhupada says here. And in this way, one develop this degree of compassion, mercy, which is very much lacking in this world. People, they don't just kill those animals nowadays, but they also eat them. There is so much abuse towards the other species of life. And that's why there is entanglement in the lust, anger, greed. Krishna has given us so much natural things to eat, vegetables, fruits, grains, but because we are so lusty, we have to taste the blood of other living entities. This is actually lusty. Lust is not just a sensual attraction, but is also just like when you walk around in the shops, you see something, a dress or something beautiful, I must have it. And a thief, he doesn't have money, so pushed by lust, he has to go and steal it. So lust is also when you walk around and you smell something nice, like the Chinese people, in China they have all the different types of species hanging on outside their shops, and they have to have it. They have to taste it. That's lust. And lust produces more lust. There's something very interesting I read a few days ago in the nectar of instruction that it struck me that the Srila Prabhupada is commenting on the very first verse of Srila Rupa Goswami. And I think it's on page 10. If you read, you know, it's very interesting that all those who eat creatures who are produced by semen, then they're doomed to be to indulge into illicit affairs. In other words, all those who eat creatures, flesh, who are produced by semen, which means different types of animals. Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. They're forced, you know, that flesh, that blood, what it does, it makes the body even more lusty. And people, they become, you know, crazy, mad, after sensual enjoyment. Just like, you know, there are some type of ostrich, some fishes or something, you know, that people, they eat just to increase the urges for sensual pleasure. So that's a fact. Srila Prabhupada quotes that. So it is not natural. It disturbs the life air of the body. And a man, you know, he finds very difficult to control his senses. Eating of meat is not just something bad, you know, that generates bad karma and you pay a reaction, but actually it makes you a very bad person. It pushes you to do things that you don't want to do. Very often you wonder where, you know, the madness in the world, incest, people, you know, who are pedophile. So, I mean, the verse says, you know, that we should offer protection to the animals. But you could see that human beings, they cannot even offer protection to their own children. That's why you have incest. And there are people who cannot offer protection to children in general, pedophile. Why they have that that instinct, that asuric bhava in themselves is because due to some God knows what they eat. We are what we eat. And it contributes a lot on who we are based on what we eat. So, and that's how we become entangled into the karmic life and madness. I mean, what to speak about giving protection to the animals? If you could see that now there's the people, they do a lot of strange things. There is no protection, you know, even towards their own family members, children. So, therefore, the idea of giving protection to the animals is very remote. And this is the only quote that I could find in the Srimad Bhagavatam. I believe my wife also used this quote for her own book, that, you know, the old praja, that the animals are on the same level like the children. Now, maybe we think idealistically it should be like that, but it's impossible practically to see such an equality between these two species. But it is possible if we if we act with a mercy and compassion, which is the only tool and the formidable weapon that we could use to combat this enemy of lust. Because Krishna says in the Gita, what is the thing that destroys everything? Relationships, the behavior, destroys the piety, the societies. It's only lust. When Arjuna asked Krishna, you know, even though someone wants to be a good man, but he makes all his endeavor to be a good man, but he's forced to commit sinful activities, what is it? And Krishna says it's only lust, the all-devouring enemy. So, lust, as we said before, is not just attraction between male and female, but also to exploit, to abuse other species of life, to abuse anything in this world for the bodily comfort, for sense gratification. That's lust. And then once you experience something, it gives you some little pleasure to the body, but then you become addicted. And that's, this is the then it becomes just like drugs. A child, you know, shows a little bit of drugs to another child, and then they experience for the first time, and they have a good ride. So yes, we want it again and again and again and again. So similarly, in the beginning of creation, nothing has been abused. But then, after Satya Yuga, then you have Dwapara Yuga, Treta Yuga, then the nature, the living entities, the animals, they start to slowly to get abused. And in Kali Yuga, we have the scenario that everybody, practically speaking, needs protection, not just the animals. Right? You have the animals, actually, they don't, they're harmless, you know, they can look after themselves. But you have a huge army, huge police force, you know, to protect the interest of a country or a person from another human being. So really, who is more innocent here? The animals or the human being? Of course I would vouch for the animals. They can never betray you. as long you feed the animal. But a human being, he can. A friend can betray you. A parent, a relative can betray you. That's why Srila Prabhupada, very often, he says, you know, a disciple, he should be faithful to the guru, just like a dog is faithful to his master. He doesn't say just like a son is faithful to his father. The example is not given, you know, about the son or about a human being. A human being is out of question. A dog is maintained by the master, by the owner. So therefore, he pays, he reciprocates with faith. He's faithful, he's loyal. He only knows the master. So this is actually innocence. Because they completely depend on the owner's mercy for sustenance, for shelter, for food. So therefore, they get protection. And every animal has the right to be protected like that. So therefore, going back to the question that Srila Prabhupada asked the scientist, you are on this rampage of killing and killing and killing animals. You can kill only if you can create. If you can create an animal, if you can do what God does, then go ahead and kill him. If someone can create me again, then he will come to kill me. But only God could do that. So therefore, God creates, God destroys. There is a birth, old age, disease, and death. These are phenomena given by God. And death is it should come to a living entity by the will of God. Not by the will of another living entity. So the similar situation, the similar rights should be given to the animals. There is a space for everybody to live in this world, not just for human beings. we are actually committing a sacrilege towards those habitats. Just because they are not very intelligent, just because they don't have any rationals, discrimination. Therefore, they are innocent, and the human beings, they abuse them. And amongst all the animals, as we know, there is one particular animal that it gives so much for the progress of the development of any human being, and that's the cow. It gives milk. Very often you have children that they have their mothers that the milk is dried in the breast. They cannot breastfeed the children. And the only sustenance is actually cow's milk, right? Because in the beginning of their lives, you cannot give rice, dal, or pasta, pizza, whatever, to a child, to a baby. But the only food to set off the spring, the enforcement, the energy, the vitality for the child to become strong, to eat properly, to eat anything else, it's actually the milk. So some children, they just depend solely on milk. And I saw a statistic that 60% of children, they're not breastfed, but they just depend solely on the cow, on the cow's milk. So you can see if the cow's milk is not there, well, how do they live, those children? Of course, you could give a donkey milk or whatever, a goat milk or but what kind of brain they formulate? What kind of society you will have? So the goodness and the nourishment is given actually by Mother Cow. And that's why she has the right to be celebrated as being one of our mothers, even better than our mothers. A cow, again, will never betray the owner. For a little bit of grass, she gives you so much milk. They're harmless. And yet people, they kill. Without any knowledge, just for the pleasure of the tongue. I'm sure we heard these things many, many times, and still we see the cows just as a normal animal, as a an animal commoner in the field, because that's the way of life. But if we really think, I mean, my own son, when he was born, he only had about 3 hours to leave, and he had to be rushed to the Great Ormond Street, and they did an operation, an esophagus operation, and my wife, she couldn't give any milk. Somehow or another, there was no milk there. So the cow saved his life. But very often we don't even say thank you. The way we say thank you is to kill them. This is the society we have nowadays. So this is the purport of this verse. We'll leave 5 minutes if there's any questions.